Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving, where we give you information and education on senior care topics. My name is Ryan McInniff, and I am the host of not only this podcast, but the owner of Minute Women Home Care, a private home care agency in Lexington, Massachusetts. So if you do have any home care needs, you can certainly give us a ring, but it's unlikely because we only service a 15-20 mile area around Boston, and this goes worldwide. So I'm also joined by Janet. How are you, Janet?
I am well, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And today we're gonna talk about something, and this might be at length, a Boston Globe article that came out just a few days ago called "The Stranger in the House." And if we're being quite honest, this has ruffled some feathers. It has gotten people into a tizzy. And like anything, I think, in the news, especially in an opinion article like this, if we can call it that, the truth is somewhere in the middle on all these things, and I think there are some pros and cons to this article. But basically what this article is, it's written by the author Linda Matchchan, and she basically had a husband that it seemed like he had early onset, not Alzheimer's, but ALS.
ALS, yeah.
And she needed home care, and she found her home care experience to be less than thrilling. And when you read this article, you certainly feel for her with what she's going through, but you also can't help but notice some mistakes that she did make, and she does admit a little bit in this article. But basically what this article is about is how in Massachusetts, and I would imagine in many other states in the United States, that there is very little regulation and oversight when it comes to home health care. And if you've watched our videos or podcasts, we've explained the different types of home health care. There's private-private, there's agency work, which is what we do, and then there's a certified home care, which is a VNA, where Medicare reimburses for those services. And mainly she talks about private-private, which is hiring somebody essentially under the table, which is technically illegal because you're not paying taxes and insurances and all those types of things. But basically, she went into what she calls a gray market. And she had looked at getting agency work from a company like Minute Women or whoever she called, and realized that the prices are between $25 and $35 an hour. And that was too much for her. It cost too much. And because of that, because she made too much to qualify for state benefits and made too little to be able to hire privately, to hire a private agency like Minute Women, she was forced to go to job boards, Craigslist, word of mouth, and hire individual caregivers on a one-off basis to care for her husband. And as would be expected, the results were less than thrilling.
Yeah, I think one thing about this article that caught people was the magnitude of it. Because it's one thing to find an article where there's, you know, something that's a few inches by a few inches. And this took up a chunk of the front page and two plus complete pages. And it told of a number of scary, frightening, sad stories. And I think that anybody that reads that article is going to say, oh, my goodness, what about, you know, my loved one? Good point. This particular person struck out on her own to do her own thing. And looking back on it, she made some mistakes and that she admits. And the good thing about the article was she was trying to be helpful and point out some homework that people ought to do.
Absolutely. Which is a good thing.
It is. And I think what's hard is whenever an article like this comes out, and if it were something in the world of finance or stocks and bonds, if that was my world, I'd probably react the way I'm doing about this, but that's not my world. This I can see where there are things that paint with such a broad brush. And I think that's the part that gets people anxious, and we're not the only ones that have been getting phone calls, and I've had caregivers call in and say, did you see that article? So I think it's been a lot of food for thought for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Which is a good thing. I think overall, I don't dislike, I'm not one of these, I'm part of the Home Care Alliance of Massachusetts. I've been getting emails from various people, including people at the HCA that feel that this article was a bit misleading. And I think what the author is trying to pinpoint is that right now, home health care is a little bit of a wild, wild west. And it's not all home care's fault, and it's not all individuals' fault. It's just that I think it's a perfect storm of why we started this podcast. One, the reason we started this podcast was because I had felt, and Janet certainly feels this way, that many people out there, the vast majority of people out there, have no clue what they're getting into as their parents age. And it is a trial by fire scenario of learning as quickly as possible what you're allowed, what you're not allowed, what the state reimburses, what Medicare reimburses, what private insurance reimburses, nothing, by the way. And then, you know, all these various different ways to pay for things. What's the Veterans Aid and Attendance Program? What's this other VA program? There's so many different things you need to look into. And when an emergency happens, when somebody gets ALS or somebody develops dementia, you're dealing not only with, and I went through it with my mom, the shock of what's going on, while also trying to figure out what the heck am I going to do in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. You know, mm-hmm. you're trying to plan and learn at the
same
time.
And you don't even know the questions to ask.
Exactly. And so what ends up happening is what I think Linda went through with her husband, David. And basically she started looking in the gray market, and people would come in and they would either be completely unqualified, they would be completely unprofessional. And then we're just talking in the interviews.
Right.
Until she found somebody that she liked. And then at some point in time, and I'm not going to go through this article word by word, at one point in time, every caregiver that she had come into her home that she liked would disappoint them in some way. And each time she was disappointed, her threshold to hiring somebody else was lower, meaning her expectations continue to lower so that she could find somebody that would take care of her husband and be able to take some of this burden off of her, because I'm sure she has a career. Obviously, she's a writer. I'm sure she had kids going on. Who knows?
She did. It's almost like living the life of a single mom because her husband was ill. She had the kids. And you lose your faith in human nature sometimes because it's like one disappointment after another. And it's like everybody's out to rip me off.
Yep.
And I think one thing about this article is I think that, you know, she cited a number of situations that I think she probably, explained them accurately. And yes, those things do happen. And I think it should just, I take it with the best intention. I actually am a little bit not pleased is the word, but I like to see these kind of issues come up every now and then, because it is a little bit of a wake-up call of to people figure out how they should go about it.
Yeah. And so where I think Linda's article struck me the most was in a few different ways. Let's just focus on Linda for now.
Okay.
Linda's story. Yep. Linda does say, and I'm reading it again as I've read it two or three times. She does say, we eventually found two extraordinary aides, a woman and a man, both certified nursing assistant, referred by medical professionals, and we could never have been, we will always be in debt with them. Mm-hmm. But as for the rest of them, I'm still recovering. And she had some situations that were, certainly not good. You know, embarrassing is that you would be surprised a human could do that to another human being.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we were talking off air, the common denominator that was going through our heads as professionals that do home health care is your first and biggest mistake was going to the gray market. Like,
yep.
That was the common denominator mistake that caused your grief. And you know, this is the exact reason why there are companies like ourselves, and that's why there are nursing homes, and that's why there are assisted livings, that's why there's Medicare VNAs, because we ideally should be either self-regulating or being regulated by somebody else.
Right.
And also the free market regulates us, right?
So correct.
If 15 clients of mine in a row say this person is terrible, Minutewomen is terrible, in theory, the free market should say,
we're terrible.
We're getting horrible reviews. Word of mouth is going out there. We're terrible. And they don't care. We're not going to refer to them anymore. And then our business will go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else that's doing a good job comes up. The problem in which Linda experienced, and don't get me wrong, I empathize with Linda's mm-hmm. situation, was that she went to these job boards and to Craigslist and to word of mouth where there is no background check. There is no reference checking, and mm-hmm. was going off of what I would guess would be somewhere between a 15-minute and a one-hour interview.
Yeah, and there was one resource that I quite honestly wasn't even aware of. I think it was called Workforce. And
I never heard of that before.
It's a website, and it is where people can go, especially people under the MassHealth umbrella, to find some resources. And through the last year, I guess, in some of this work, there have been enough unqualified people or people with issues that they employees or caregivers can no longer advertise for work on that website. And I think maybe what that did was give some people a false sense of security that they had been through maybe more of a program than the program offers.
And that's what the other thing I was going to talk about with Linda, where, you know, that was the first mistake that I think Linda made. But also, to her credit, when you see that there is a state-sponsored website that has caregivers on it, it absolutely is going to give somebody a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people do a terrible job. And then
they've had 3 hours of training.
Yeah. And then it's on to the next one. And then she was saying she was finding the reused ads again. And there's some other person that's in a desperate situation to get care. This person looks nice. You know, one of the things we've always said, and I've always said, when you're interviewing people is you can interview somebody till you're blue in the face, but you don't know who they are, how they are until they get in the field or they get into an office or they start doing the sales rounds, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know how good somebody of an accountant is until they start doing the accounting for you.
That's right.
And that's why you have managers and middle managers and executives that are overseeing everything, making sure that things are getting done right, or training them to make sure that it is getting done
right. There's no recourse to address issues.
Exactly. So, you know, that's kind of was my feeling with Linda. It was just like, you know, I get where you're coming from. I get the frustration. And I get that you look at somebody like Minutewomen, you go, that's a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other private home care companies took it as a little bit of a shot towards them, where it's like, you know, you're lumping us in with this kind of gray market, which she does. But
mm-hmm.
some of these stories are justified. And I think we're trying to be fair with that.
And if you don't know any better or anything about the industry, everybody is the same.
Everybody's the same, right? What would you, six in one, half a dozen in the other. So that was her experience. She obviously found somebody that was good. But then she goes through a number of different examples that through this job board and through this job board that people are get scammed out of huge amounts of money. Huge amount. We're talking $500,000. And that was the one that really disturbed me the most, which was like, listen, there's scam artists all the time. There are two or three examples that really disturbed me in this. And the number one, I think, was the Council on Aging over in Belmont.
Yeah.
Basically, what had happened was that the Council on Aging, we've done podcasts before about them. They're great resources, or maybe I shouldn't say that now, but there are good resources that a great first step to start learning about senior care services mm-hmm. and senior services in general. Every town in Massachusetts, at least, has one.
Yep.
And they are usually staffed by people that care immensely about seniors and are trying to do the right thing with probably limited resources that they have.
Yep.
And what happened over in Belmont is that a home care coordinator, somebody that basically sets up home care for an individual to make sure that they're getting the right care, to find them the right person or the right company, took it on themselves to say, I'm going to be this person's caregiver. Mm-hmm. And over the course of, 10 or 11 years, moved into this woman's home, moved her family into this home, moved this dementia woman down into the basement, which is just horrible, and then stole, this article says $450,000. I looked it up on a different one, and it said $900,000. So I, in a massive, massive amount of money.
Yeah.
And then to not only have that happen, and I guess at the end of the day, you know, it's more just salt in the wound. She was arrested and charged with one count, which was falsifying a writing a bad check.
Yeah.
Basically, she was writing bad checks, and she got like, I don't know what she got, but it was probation. All of these ones that get probation because they're all nonviolent crimes. And it was just mind-blowing that it just checked off a number of things. It's like, not only are you a scam artist, you were the worst example that Linda brought up. And on top of that, you were working for a government agency that...
You're in the industry.
In the industry, and you found somebody that was vulnerable, meaning they had dementia, isolated. Clearly, if you're living in this person's home for 10 years, they don't have extended family that checks in on them, and you stole from them, and you took advantage from them. And then to cap it all off, you move the poor lady into the damn basement. You know what I mean? Like, how many levels of hell is this woman going down? You know, like,
seriously,
you know,
checked all the boxes
just to treat somebody this way. And the article goes through many different ones. What were some ones that kind of stuck out to you?
Well, some of the things that surprised me is that caregivers, these were not family members or friends. These were caregivers that people hired. They had acquired power of attorney for this, for one client, and went to town with their bank account. There was the infamous story several years ago about the man that abused the dog, Puppy Doe, to the point that the animal had to be put down. Well, he went to trial, and I think it was an 8 to 10 year sentence for what he did to the dog. But there was also an elderly person that he was caring for that he was neglecting, and he'd go off for days and go gambling, and he got a much lesser charge for the way he treated this elderly woman. So it was, you know, really kind of crazy. They just had bank accounts, they had vacations, they had it just was absolutely amazing.
I'm just reading it now. He got 5 years in state prison for stealing 130 grand as long as jewels from this woman and other valuables. He got 8 to 10
for the
torturing
dog.
The dog and killing the dog.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm a dog lover, but it's just the idea that, you know, this kind of doesn't get the attention that the poor dog got. And I think, you know, it is a little bit of the Wild West, as you want to call it. And because of that, that's, in a sad way, that's one reason the prices aren't higher than they were, because once things become more regulated, there's a huge cost associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people want what they need. They don't want to have a caregiver, but they need one. But there are just so many people that are between the lines of what they can afford or what their family can afford, and people that don't have quite that money and no resource.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, one example that she put is Linda, in her own experience, a caregiver showed up, they did an interview, and overall, it was good. Everything was good. As the interview was going on, she asked to explain the situation to him. My husband was largely paralyzed, couldn't walk, had difficulty swallowing food, even his saliva. The caregiver pondered for a moment and said, why not put duct tape over his mouth? Like,
that'll stop the drooling, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess if you're more of an ends justify the means type person,
that's,
you know, you know, and that's something that, you know, obviously you sit there and you go, well, there's no way I can have this person. If that's their thought process of to stop the drooling, then we've got issues here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of caregiver that's out there. I'm finding, and one of the things that Linda did point out, and I've been going through this article and I can't find every little piece, and that's shame on me, but she was explaining that, you know, She had a list or pictures of all these people that had been arrested recently in a certain amount of time frame that had been doing things. A lot of them were either gambling addicts or they were drug addicts that were doing various things. And one of the things I wanted to point out was she says a lot of these people that hire privates never do a background check. Yep. And without a doubt, doing a mass query is better than not doing a mass query. But as far as I'm concerned, a mass query is close. I don't want to say it's useless because it's not, but it is not as effective as it should be because we live in a state that is surrounded by other small states and it's too easy to live in New Hampshire and travel down to Massachusetts mm-hmm. or vice versa. And somebody could be a felon up in New Hampshire and you do a mass query background check on them and they pass and then you hire them as a home health aide and they're just as bad as one of these lowlifes that were found on a message board somewhere. So, you know, there are certainly a lot of things you can do, but the law is that we have to do a mass query. Well, it's only as good as the things it finds.
That's right. And there are people out there that will borrow somebody else's social security number, which is one of the things that you have to have for queries, and they end up getting great clearance and it's not them.
So, I mean, that's the problems that you have, and these are the problems that she went through. And, you know, the other one that really, and I'm sure if Linda ever listens to this podcast, she would probably agree, see why it drove me insane, was the agency that failed on this. So there was an agency out there in Massachusetts, out in the Berkshires. It was basically on the edge of New York and Pittsfield. And
rural Massachusetts.
Yeah, rural Massachusetts, not that it matters, but it was out there. It wasn't close to us. It wasn't us. But basically this company hired a guy knowing that he had a background of stealing things. Mm-hmm. He had been arrested and I believe convicted of larceny and breaking and entering. And this individual, this male was somehow related or was related to somebody that was close to this business owner that owned this agency. And
yeah,
she hired
him. Of a friend or something.
Yeah. There was some relationship there. And basically there's the, they hired him and he was a nephew of a friend, of another acquaintance. And basically, the caregiver, the owner of this company, said that he asked to have the owner of this company put faith in him. And I did so believing that I wanted to be in the power of giving someone a chance and starting over. And so he returned that favor by stealing $43,000 worth of goods from a disabled woman that was placed by this private home care company. And listen, I don't know who Lisa is with Hand in Hand Senior Specialty Services. Nobody in this world is perfect. I am not perfect. I've made mistakes, but you would think.
Nor is any industry.
Nor
I mean,
is any
you
industry.
You can have rotten teachers in the teaching system. You can have a bad cop in a great cop system. You know, it's true of every industry. There are bad people.
There are bad people, but this is not just this is you know, you're dealing with the second most at risk population in this country, with the first mm-hmm. being children, right?
Yep.
And you're taking somebody and you cannot give somebody a second chance with the elderly. Once that bridge is burned, there are certain things that you can't really trust somebody to do unless it is decades.
A supervised
decades,
environment.
Or supervised.
Yeah.
If this woman wanted to give this guy a second chance, he should have been in the office. If this mm-hmm. guy, if this woman wanted to give him a second chance, she should have used her network to find him a job that wouldn't put children or adults at or seniors at risk. The place to give somebody a second chance isn't putting them in a home with somebody who is at risk and giving them complete access to somebody's home. One of the things that happened to me when my mom finally passed away was somebody was trying to access her 401k account. Well, I have a huge family. It was my mom. She was dead. My dad, who had access to the 401k, and then their only child, me. And I couldn't even tell you what company they had their 401k with. And even with that, we would always joke around in a sick manner of like, I'm getting it all anyway. So, you know, it wasn't a big concern of this money in mind, but somebody was accessing. So yep. Was it a hospice company? Was it private home care? Was it a coincidence? I don't know. I don't think it was a coincidence, but it just proves to you that there are people out there that are going to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as why you always lock your doors. The vast majority of people, if they see the wallet in the car, aren't going to do anything. And the even more vast amount of people are not willing to break the window of the car to get mm-hmm. to your wallet. But if the car is unlocked, all of a sudden that those people that would steal
don't
it,
tempt
but
the weak.
Don't, but wouldn't break your window. They just open up a door. Yeah. It's the same reason why putting a white picket fence around your house for whatever reason is a little bit safer than not, because it's just one more barrier people have to go over to do something wrong.
Yep.
And in these situations, there was very little barrier. This guy, I mean, kid in a candy store. Here's your, you have a problem with stealing. We're going to give you access to a disabled person's house, and you're going to have complete access to them for X amount of hours per day, X amount of hours per week. I mean,
it's giving the liquor cabinet to an alcoholic. You know, it's just they've made bad judgment calls. That's how they got in trouble. And this is an unsupervised situation.
And, you know, listen, I don't know what this woman was thinking. I obviously think she made a huge mistake. You know, I don't know if she's using, I don't know if she's using that as an excuse now or not, or she didn't really care at the time. I have no idea what was going through her head. I will say that she does say, just to give her side, she did respond to this article, and she says, the blame goes entirely to me. I brought this gentleman into the home, and my clients put my trust in me, and I let them down. And to be honest with you, that's all you can say. She's at least owning up to it. She understands that she made a mistake, and I would imagine that she would never make that mistake again. Her home care company's been in business, I looked it up, for 22 years. It's not a short period of time. She obviously has done enough good work to grow her business mm-hmm. to be able to employ caregivers, maybe office staff, and certainly to provide for herself. So clearly they've done something right to keep the business going, but obviously this is a big one, and I'm sure she's just sitting here, you know, I'm sure she drank a big bottle of wine or two when this article came out, because I know that's what I would have done
yep.
if I saw the big mistake on the front page of the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
And it stinks, and hopefully she's a good-hearted person and she can get over this. And if not, then I don't know what to tell you. But that was one that shocked me, because I know that if we saw that, I would like to think that if we saw that, even if it was your loved one, it would, no, I'm sorry, we can't take that risk, because if that happens, it could take the whole company down. Like, that's a mistake that yeah. can bring $43,000 is a huge amount of money, that most companies wouldn't just write a check for. You know, that's, right. you know, so, and in talking.
And it breaks a trust. And like I was saying in the beginning, you know, people that we all do it with things, you paint with a broad brush, you know, and you think that, oh my gosh, is this what every agency's like? Is this what all caregivers are like? You know, because they don't know any better. They
absolutely. And, you know, when you're getting introduced to something, and a lot of these people are being introduced to caregiving the first time, you know, we've always said the first week is so imperative. Like, you know, that's why we have the protocols that we have to try to make sure and ensure that things go as smoothly as possible, because it's not just burning a bridge for Minute Women. It's burning the bridge for the family. Now you've mm-hmm. put the family behind the eight ball in getting them to accept private home care from another agency.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we've had our issue. We've certainly made mistakes, and we've been that company that didn't get off to the right foot. Now, not as bad as a $43,000 loss, but the caregiver either showed up late the first time, or, you know, showed up and clearly was in poor attire, or her attitude was bad. Whatever those things were that left a sour note, and no company is perfect, don't get me wrong, and we're not perfect by any means. But, you know, that's where our thought process is, and when something like that goes wrong, you can't put somebody in with there's a lot of trust in this, in having a stranger come into your home.
There is. And I think, and I've spoken with a number of our staff since this article came out, and I was doing an orientation the other day, and half of the people in the class had read the article, and everybody was totally in tune to it. And I think that it's good to be able to talk about it and get it out there. And, you know, I think, too, that one of the things that I think we take pride in is it's not just a matter of looking out for the client, but you have to support your good staff. And when we do random drop-bys to see that somebody got where they're supposed to be on time or drop in and check logs, it's not a gotcha spying on anybody. It's showing that everybody is doing what they should be doing. And the good people, their reputations are on the line when they're out there, and we're helping them with their reputation, not just ours.
Absolutely. And so that was the other big thing that I took from this article. And one of the things Linda says is that half of these people were the people, the 20 or so people she lists in this article, half of them were coming from agencies and half of them were being private or something along that. Maybe it was 60-40. I don't know. But there was a decent enough amount coming from agencies like a Minutewomen mm-hmm. that were having these problems. And she goes on to list that there is a caregiver shortage. She is 100% right on.
Absolutely.
There are too many people that need home care, which she is 100% right on.
That's right.
And I have to assume she's right on this because this is human nature. There are people cutting corners and and doing this. There are certain people that say, you know, let's do this. Like, bring her on. Maybe she'll be okay. Let's roll the dice with it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems with scaling, right? Like, you want to grow your business. Every agency does. Well, the more you grow it, the more you need people. Mm-hmm. And so that means, hey, listen.
And the more you have to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's one of the things she's bringing up is that there are agencies out there and there are, I think, thousands of agencies in Massachusetts that there's a certain percentage of them that are not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, just like anything, 10% of 1,000 ruin the reputation for all 1,000 and
right.
or whatever that number is. And so, you know, that's where, you know, we did the HCA, the Home Care Alliance. We got accredited by them because we wanted something to prove to people that we were doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to dig and to listen to these podcasts and to learn what to ask and what to look for and what to be informed about, because you need to protect yourself. Because if you, it doesn't matter if you hire them from me or you hire them from somebody else or privately, you know, you're dealing with people that don't get paid a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give them the keys to a castle where we're located in Lexington, where every home here is worth $1 million plus. We're only servicing area. We service generally areas where at least the homes are worth 400 grand and up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's money there, more money than they have. And then you trust them with the credit cards and a checkbook and to pay bills, which is something we do not recommend, but people do that.
Yeah.
And then you're giving them keys to the castle.
To the car, absolutely.
And that is not a good position to be in when you have somebody that you got to remember, these people are employees. They are a contractor for you,
and that
basically
is something she did mention in the article, which I think, you know, you can't overstate that. It has to be an employee situation. You know,
it is. And these people need to know that they are
accountable,
and they can be replaced if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in this, I remember I watched Gold Miners, that thing on Discovery, and they're the Swedish guy that swore every other second. Maybe there are people out there. And somebody quit on him. He goes, there's 3 billion people on this planet. We'll find somebody else.
You know, there you go.
That's a good attitude to have in some cases.
Yep.
And not in every case, but in some cases. And so anyways, this article goes through and explains that some of these agencies, and again, there isn't much regulation in Massachusetts with agencies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get regulated. We would enjoy some regulation, because in our view, this article shows you why you need to find the right agency. If you can afford it.
Yep.
And I know that not everybody out there can afford it. And that's a major problem. And that gap is going to continue to grow,
mm-hmm.
because as we pay our aides more and more money because the minimum wage is going up, which it would be going up in supply and demand. There aren't a lot of them out there, so their wages are going to be going up, whether it was mandated through the government or through the free market. But obviously, the government is kickstarting this. That's only going to make the cost go up. They're not, all of a sudden, the agencies aren't going to give you a discount because of this. Maybe a little bit, but your costs will be going up over time, just like going to the grocery store, going to the sub shop. All of those people's wages are going to be going up, and the costs are going to go up. So, you know, that's a big problem that I think we're going to have. And I think that problem is going to affect people outside of 495 in the Berkshires, in Pittsfield, out in Belchertown, out in Orange, where it's blue collar work. There's not a whole lot of millionaires out there, or, you know, you get my point. It isn't a millionaire next to a million. The whole neighborhood's millionaires. You know, there's going to be a lot of struggle out in Western Massachusetts because of this. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that I think is going to be the unfortunate reaction to a lot of this, is that prices will go up, and then all of a sudden that's when more and more people are hired privately. And then you have more examples of what Linda went through.
And even of the well-meaning people that will show up on time and want to, you know, earn their money type of thing, the qualifications of people is all over the map. And, you know, there's difference between somebody that's going to give your mom a ride in the car and somebody that needs total care. And to become a CNA or a home health aide, we go through, I even look to see where they got their credentials, because those could be, I can be skeptical of those sometimes. But Red Cross, you know, gone are the days when even that's inexpensive. You know, you're taking $1,000 or so just to take the course. And even at that, how much hands-on experience has someone had, you know? And, you know, we're focusing on being in the home and private home cares, but even nursing homes and all have their issues too, because there is a limited amount of supervision because of the cost of health care. So it really gets, it gets to be tough. And I find there are families that they don't even think about the technical side of, does somebody know how to safely get mom or dad in and out of the shower? They're trying to find somebody who is going to be able to cross that barrier of two totally different cultural experiences. You know, mom and dad are third generation Yankee, and there's someone who a year and a half ago was in Haiti, Uganda, some African country, Poland, Jamaica, and they do things. They have a different lifestyle. You're trying to mesh this with your 84-year-old grandmother, and that's where a lot of people's heads are, not even the skills and the criteria for the safety and well-being.
Absolutely. And some of the things, and don't get me wrong, just to clarify, I'm not saying people don't deserve these raises. I'm not saying that that's not the case. I'm just saying that as people get more money, the people that need care the most aren't bringing more money in, meaning the seniors. They're on fixed incomes, or they've made their money already. So as prices go up and wages go up, prices will go up, but the amount of money that senior has, their pension isn't going to go up because of the cost of living, or their Social Security is not going to go up because of the cost of living. It's a fixed income. So that's where you're going to have these problems, and that's where the middle class is going to have more and more issues, like Linda had, on getting home care. But I think one of the things that's a problem is that a lot of people have made that promise to mom or dad, and my guess is Linda may have been this type of example where that putting somebody in a nursing home was not an option.
Yep.
Whether the money was an option, it was not an option to do that. They were not going to allow their loved one to, quote unquote, wither away and die in a nursing home. And because of that promise, and it's a double-edged sword because it has made our business grow, because people don't want to do it. It is also causing people to go to this black market, or what Linda's saying, the gray market of hiring these privates. But it's not a gray market. It's the underground market. It's the, you're paying somebody under the table and hoping that they do a good job with the most intimate of areas, the most intimate and most personal way that you want somebody to do a good job.
And some people are even above board. Like you say, there's the under the table, but then there are the people that do make sure they've got their workers' comp and their property insurance, and they make sure that they're paying taxes. Mm-hmm. So that part's all great and dandy, but still, you don't know what you're getting.
Absolutely. So the other part I wanted to mention about this article is, the other part I wanted to mention about this article was not, was, you know, she explains that the wages are $25 to $35 an hour. We're right in the middle of that. The point I want to make is what that $25 to $35 an hour pays for. It isn't me playing Scrooge McDuck, going into my mansion, diving into a basement or a pool full of gold and riches and wondering which Rolex I want to wear, or what color Beamer or Lamborghini do I want to drive today because I have so many. Wish it was, but it's not. It pays for my salary. It pays for your salary. It pays for Gina's salary. It pays for our bookkeeper's salary. It pays for the big one, which is insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And
it pays for the lights and the phone that people call us in on to
absolutely
deal with their issues.
And it pays for the overtime that we have to pay and not charge to customers. Mm-hmm. It pays for all of the issues that come up on a day-to-day basis that this company has. But then at the end of the day, still does need to make a profit because my name's on a lot of loans that I'm going to be personally responsible for if I don't pay those loans back. So I need to be able to, I put myself on the line that I need to, you risk a lot, your reward should be big. If you don't mm-hmm. risk a lot, your reward's is smaller. Now, I don't know what that means for other agencies if they're sitting there with their $150,000 car, but that's not what I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. The other owners in that I meet on a day-to-day basis seem to be driving Fords and Volvos and GMCs
Chrysler's. Yeah.
I've seen more caregivers driving Mercedes and Beamers than I've seen owners of businesses driving Mercedes
and Beamers. The used Volvo market's pretty
yes.
big too.
So that's what you're getting. And there are certain people, and we've had customers that think that we pay the caregivers what we pay them, and then all of a sudden everything else just goes into my pocket. And I just, I whip my cane around with my top hat as I walk through the streets, and I look at everybody go, look at these peasants over here. You know, I'm going up to the Prudential Center to have my daily lunch. You know,
right.
It's not like, you know, I was audio listening to Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. And Rockefeller went to the barber every single day before he went to his Union Oil or whatever it was called, because he wanted to make sure he looked good. Like, talk about having some cash, right?
That was back in the days of no taxes,
right? That was back in the day,
right?
Yeah, right? So, you know, you are getting what you should be getting. Is background checks. You should be getting reference checks. You should be getting people going through orientation and going through training and doing supervisory visits and making sure that they're doing a good job. You're getting somebody that's insured. You're getting somebody that if they don't work out, you can get a replacement almost immediately.
Exactly. People that will embrace your issues or things that you have as a challenge.
Absolutely.
You know, and we will talk to people all day long about, we could send Mary Poppins to the house. And if that Mary Poppins reminds mom of the nurse that was mean to her in the hospital, unless we shave her head, that's not going to be a good fit. Did anybody do anything wrong? No, but we have to go through the process of replacing with an appropriate person.
Absolutely. You can in theory, and there's I will never lie into that. There's no way that no caregiver would ever steal from one of my clients because I'm Minute Women Home Care. I can't guarantee
that's right.
that. Nobody can guarantee that. But what I can guarantee is that we'll do something about it, that we'll be involved, we'll be responsible, assuming that we're responsible for that, that we will go through the necessary steps to hold ourselves and our caregivers accountable and to cooperate in any way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. and to have the necessary insurances to cover any of these
that's
things
right.
as well. Yes, it would be absolutely, that's the example. Like, one thing they don't talk about that woman out in Pittsfield, did her insurance cover that $43,000? Right. If it did, that makes it hurt a lot less.
Yep.
And it still stinks that you were
taken advantage of.
Yep. But at the, and granted, I know there were some things in there. It wasn't just cash. There were items that were probably sentimental that went away.
Jewelry and,
you know, I think there was a guitar in there and something like that. Those, that sentimental stuff you can't replace. But at least when you're dealing with the cash value, you should have an insurance that handles that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have insurance that handles theft specifically because we're in somebody's home. And so that's where you're going to sit back and be thankful. You know, nobody likes paying their insurance bill on their house or their car or whatever they have. But you're damn sure you're glad when you had insurance when the car gets crashed into.
You're betting your car is going to get trashed, and they're betting it won't.
Those people up in North Andover and Lawrence whose houses went on fire that paid for house insurance for 20 years with nothing happening. But now that their house is burned, they in theory should be getting a new house out of it. And they're going to be dang happy that they paid for that insurance, or, and that's what you're getting with an agency. You're getting their insured caregivers that have been vetted, that should be good. And if you're unhappy with them, you can call somebody up and get somebody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
In this example, one of the caregivers for Linda got frustrated at one point in time, apparently picked the gentleman up and kind of harshly threw him down on the bed and kind of threw up his hands and said, whatever, good luck, I'm out.
Yeah.
So Linda,
now she's back to square one with a bad example.
Happened, and she's back to square one, that she's back on her own handling this by herself instead of being able to call an agency and, one, let the agency know that that's a terrible caregiver and never use them again. They're automatically fired. See you later. But two, if the trust is still there to have somebody be able to come back out and at least get her through the night or the next 24 hours until she can find another agency.
Right.
Or whatever it might be.
Yep.
So that's kind of it. And, you know, a lot of the cases we have, especially with these around-the-clock cases that have 8 or 9 caregivers on them, not all of them make the cut after the first week or two. Caregivers get replaced because it's not a good fit, or maybe they did something that wasn't ragingly egregious, but it just did, it was enough to leave a sour taste in somebody's mouth, and they say, hey, listen, we prefer to get rid of this person. It takes some time to find the right fit and the right caregivers, especially on these around-the-clock cases, which Linda was.
Right.
So, or Linda's husband was, I should say. So,
private, if somebody calls out sick, you're stuck.
You're on your own. Figure it out. And that's the problem, and it sounds crazy, but it happens. The average caregiver is employed. The average turnover, you're doing a good job in this industry, a good job, if you have a 50% care turnover.
Correct.
50% of the caregivers that come through my door will be gone within a year.
Yep.
And it's not because I fired.
Nope.
It's because they moved on to other cases, other industries, moved out of the state, whatever it is. 50% of them are gone.
And some of our very best caregivers are all studying to be LPNs or nurses, and that's great. And we want to see them grow, but we're going to lose them.
Well, exactly. So you know that if you hire a private caregiver on your own, there is a better chance than not that caregiver is going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And
one thing you don't have to worry about in expenses is gold watches for 50-year retirement plans.
Absolutely. That is a good point.
I thought so.
So if you hire somebody that's going to be your everything, and then one day, you know, they'll be nice and they'll give you a 2-week notice, if that. But a lot of them
disappear in the dark of night.
A lot of them will disappear, and you'll never hear from them again. It happens not all the time, but it's happened enough that it's not a surprise anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It happened when we had the house cleaning company. When I had house cleaning, we knew that a house cleaner was gone if we hadn't heard from them in 48. They were gone.
Yep.
They're not picking up their phone, answering text messages within a day or two. You know they're done. There's no point calling them up anymore because they have officially abandoned their job. And because they don't want to have the tough conversation, and it's an awkward conversation to say, hey, Ryan, I quit. I'm done. And I've had plenty of people quit. It's not the end of the world. 3 point something billion people on the planet. We'll find somebody new. Yep. But it is nice and professional to you know, give that notice or give that thing and leave. And then when you hire somebody privately, you know, what if you're hiring somebody at $13 an hour? and they find another gig that pays $18 an hour.
It's been nice.
I think they're going to give you a 2-week notice when they're getting paid an extra $5 an hour or whatever it is, and now you're in a bidding war. Do you want to pay? Well, you want to pay me $18. Well, you've got to pay me $20 if you want me to stay.
We've had applicants call in looking for work, and they'll say, what do you pay? And we tell them, and they say, oh, really? So if I come and apply, I can quit my other job. I could start Monday. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, yikes. You know, who are they taking care of that's not going to have coverage?
Absolutely. And if you're willing to do that to them, what are you going to do to us?
Exactly.
So listen, this is one of our longest podcasts, and I think it's worthwhile bringing it up. This is only part one. Part two came out on Monday. We haven't read it yet because today's Wednesday. We have jobs to do, work to do, and Jackson has been in the office, and he's been playing. Yeah. Is he sleeping right now?
Yep, sound asleep.
Sound asleep. So, you know, when Jackson's in the office, the Havanese dog productivity does usually drop by about 20 or 30%.
But morale goes through the roof.
Morale goes through the roof. It's a trade-off. But it's worthwhile reading this. Linda has some excellent points that I think are fair to recognize. There is very little regulation in this industry. Nobody knows how much abuse and how much theft is going on in these homes because it's very difficult to, one, track it, and two, once somebody finds out about it, it could be months later, you have multiple people in the home, there's multiple different suspects, and nobody ever really gets in trouble. And in these situations, what are you going to do?
And 9 times out of 10, when you're looking for that caregiver, you're looking for that agency, it's because you're in crisis mode. It's not like when your child is 16, you're starting to think about colleges.
Yeah.
You know, this is something where mom went in the hospital and then you had a family meeting and they're coming home tomorrow. What do you do?
But at the same time, and to be fair, is that agencies overall do a good job.
They do.
They're with people that care. We're not doing this because we don't care about things. If that was the case, I'd be selling screws to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the screwball, I'll give you a new box. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of people in here that are part of this industry trying to do a good job. Nobody is perfect. And most people that we have customers understand that. And I think the longer we have customers, the longer they realize that there are just some issues in this industry that are industry-based, that are, they're at this point in time, very difficult to unfixable. You know, how do you get a, for example, one of the banes of every home care, every assisted living, every hospital, and probably every employer in America is cell phones. How do you get people to not be on their cell phone all the time, checking Facebook, checking Instagram, whether you're at a Fortune 500 job or you're at McDonald's doing the burgers? Everybody's got a phone in their pocket, and everybody knows when they hear that ding, it's like an itch in the bottom of your foot that you have to attend until you figure out what that ding was about.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the problems with agencies is that the caregivers show up to a job, they sit down, and they pull out their phone, and if they're smart about it, they at least play a game. If they're dumb about it, they sit on the phone and talk to family and friends for hours on time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a problem that whether you come to Minute Women or somebody else or an assisted living or a nursing home, it's a problem. Now, nursing homes and assisted livings, they have oversight, so they crack down on that a bit more than people. But everybody.
And it gets a little more complicated, too, because as technology advances, which is a cost savings to places like us, if the plan of care and the tasks they have to do and the time they get there and the time they leave is being done through the cell phone, through a cell
app.
It's a necessary evil. So you don't know whether the person's logging in or whether the person's chatting with somebody.
And that's what we've said to caregivers, where it's like, let's just bring a book. Like, at least when you're sitting there reading a book, it looks a lot better than sitting there playing Candy Crush and or knitting or whatever. It just seems more grandmothering. More caring. It's just, I'm just reading until, you know, Mrs. Smith needs some care.
Yeah, because a generation ago, people didn't need their phones and depend on their phones the way people do today. So the clients don't even understand what they're doing.
Yeah, so that's an example of an underlying issue that I think a lot of employers have, but definitely all home care companies, whether they're hospice companies, they all deal with that issue where somebody comes in, they're on their phone, and it not only looks bad, but it is bad, because even if you are being attentive and you're just taking a break, it's still, you know, it's the snapshot. It's just up on the phone again. I've seen your mm-hmm. caregiver on the phone four times in 1 8-hour shift. You know, what's going on? You know, and you're sitting there going, I can't give you a good answer. You know, I'm upset about it, but we all kind of know that I can't force them not to have a phone on them. Like mm-hmm. they clock in and clock out, or they need to be able to have access to a phone for emergencies or whatever it might be. It's a bane of my hair loss, right? So, you know, it's one of those things, but it's a valid argument on why people are frustrated and mm-hmm. things like that. So this isn't a perfect industry, but overall people do care. There are a lot of good caregivers out there, and I understand that there are a decent amount of caregivers that are using and abusing this system to be able to take advantage of people, and it's horrible, and it shouldn't happen, and unfortunately, we aren't bringing those people to justice as often as we should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said in this article, the Attorney General of the United States said Massachusetts? There was
like
only
20.
Like 300 people that were brought, you know, cases of these issues. Like, there are way more issues than 300 over the past year or even 5 years or whatever it is, whatever the number was, of people getting scammed or taken advantage of. There's 300 probably in a block in Boston. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's obviously much worse than that is, but Linda's point is nobody's keeping track. There's no regulatory agency, so nobody really knows.
Yeah, and, you know, it really comes down to, it's not if something's going to happen, it's when something's going to happen, because it's life. And it's who's there, what's somebody going to do about it? And,
yep.
and who's going to police their own?
So, I mean, we look at this as a positive. I look at this as more positive than not.
I do too.
It makes companies like ours, and if we can pat ourselves on the back, that are doing a good job, that overall are getting good grades from our customers for the most part, are trying to do the right thing. Whether we do it all the time or not is not always successful, but our intentions are good. It makes people like us go, all right, let's get rid of these horrible human beings and these bad apples, these people that are bending the rules for family members or just cutting corners because they need bodies. Get them out of there, and then we can do more good work for other people.
Right.
And we can grow, which is a goal of ours, but also it's a goal to be known as a good company as well. And so far, so good. But that's kind of where we were left with this. We're excited to read the other article and go from there. But it certainly is an eye-opener for a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm. And it's a scary thing, because there is like all this bad stuff. And what does it mean?
And it's scary because you're letting somebody into your home. I mean, here's another example that we keep talking about, whatever. This is a long one. My uncle gave me some gold coins. I don't know what they were worth. I think a lot. But they were gold. Gold coins. And he said, you know, when you turn 18, you can have these, or graduate college, you can have these. And I was going out to Colorado. My dad was into coins big time. Loved coins growing up. I couldn't have cared less about he is a smart guy. When he got the coins, when my uncle gave them to me when I was 12 or whatever, he categorized them, and he had a basically an inventory that he kept in his desk of these coins.
Okay.
When I was going out to Colorado at 22, we obviously needed the coins. We took the coins, sold them for whatever they were worth. But he checked what was in the box versus what was in the inventory, and about 30% of them were missing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were using a house cleaning company to clean the house, as well as a home care company for my grandmother, over the time which I was given the coins and which I then wanted to sell the coins. So obviously it was somebody. My parents weren't stealing $1,000 worth of coins from me, or whatever silly amount of money, whatever amount of money it was, nothing silly, but whatever it was somebody that had access to the house, that they were alone, that they could search all the closets, look around and mm-hmm. find where things were hidden. It wasn't like laying out on my bedside. It was in the back of a closet with crap on it. Mm-hmm. And they were able to go through, and they probably stole a coin here and there, or every week. They, you know, I'm sure they did one. They noticed, do another, notice again, do another, and they sold them. And they made money off of it until mm-hmm. they got taken off of the job or whatever it was. So what happened, so it can happen to anybody. It happened to me. It's probably happened to people in this office as well. Whether it's a large amount, whether it's a small amount is incidental, is that when you have somebody giving access to their home, you've got to protect yourself in as many ways as possible. And that's hiding the jewelry. That's hiding the cash. Mm-hmm. That's hiding all the sensitive paperwork.
Having a process and working with people. And, you know, I think one of the biggest bad news bears, bad reputation things, is here in Massachusetts. There's a hospital in Cambridge, and there was a surgeon who had his issues, and he walked out of the middle of a surgery to go make a bank deposit. And it was all over the paper, and people felt, you know, horrible for his family, and there were lawsuits and all of that. And some of the people at work, there was like, how could anybody want to come to that hospital? Well, the fact is that this guy was a screwball. Unfortunately, he had his issues, but they had processes, and everybody did what they were supposed to do. And they brought in the backup, and they reported things, and they did things the way they should. So that person who was the problem was identified, it was addressed, and they were removed from being able to do that to anybody else anywhere. And that's really what you're hoping for, because crappy things happen. But what is the what can you do to minimize the risk? And if something does happen, what do you do about it?
Absolutely. And you just got to remember that no well-maintained agency can avoid all risk. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
They provide as much management, oversight, screening, training to the caregivers to try to give the best quality of care. But nothing is guaranteed in life. You know, where
you cannot always turn crappy into happy.
Exactly. And so, you know, the other thing to know is that there has been, by the good agencies, there has been lobbying to do have regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think my business will prosper with some regulation. Now, do I want regulation up the wazoo? No, I don't. I don't want DPH coming in here like they do with hospices and Medicare companies. But, you know, there is a balance to having regulation where it gets rid of the people that are out to make a quick buck or to do a poor job or whatever it might be, that look at this as just a quick money-making scheme. And there are those good agencies out there. Right now, there's no accreditation from the state or on a federal level on who's good or who's bad. So you need to look up your local accreditations and see who's part of that and who's not. Doesn't mean that it's perfect. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed to have a home run, but it's trying to minimize your risk. That's what you're looking
for. Buyer beware.
So, you know, that's why in absence of that regulation, the Home Care Alliance and other associations made accreditation standards to prove that, hey, we have X amount of members that have followed this accreditation and are trying to do it. Is it a good housekeeping stamp of approval? Yeah, it is. But at least it's something. And at least we're trying to do the best that we can rather than, you know, have it be a complete free-for-all. So, you know, do you have any final thoughts on this?
No, like you say, I think it's something we've talked a long time about. We could probably talk about it for weeks because there's just so many pieces to it. But I think it is something that it's been rippling through the system. A guy called just the other day asking about care, and he says, and how do you cover grand theft? And our coordinator here said, grand theft? And he said, yeah, did you read the article? So it's got a lot of people thinking, but I think that's a good thing. Information is good.
It is good, and the more that questions we get, the more we can give good quality answers. You know,
embrace the questions.
Absolutely. Yep. So there is part two coming out, so I imagine that our homework is to read that tonight and to do another podcast about that tomorrow, which means it will probably come out on Friday. And our reactions to that, I'm guessing, will be a long one. This was an hour long, but it definitely deserved the attention because it is an article that is through the viewpoint of somebody that has been burnt.
Yep.
And it is good to know, have at least some rebuttals on where I thought things were fair in that article. And there were plenty of facts in there that are astounding and unbelievable and absolutely true.
Yep.
But it also, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Linda would agree, it's always good to have the voice of the people on the other side saying, hey, you know, your point is valid. Mm-hmm. You absolutely have your opinions and your viewpoints. Here's my side of the story as well.
Exactly.
And so that's where I think it would be good. And I'm sure Linda gets a lot of emails from people that are ranging from extremely mad to empathetic and grateful.
Yep.
And in there. And I think it's always a good thing to have that, because like you always say, people that are doing nothing wrong have nothing to worry about. Right.
That's right.
And so, you know, that's unfortunately not the case that's going on in Massachusetts and all of them, but I think there are plenty of diamonds in the roughs out there if you know what to look for and if you take the time to plan before you have the emergency, which
yes,
is really what this whole podcast has been around about for the last 75 or 80 episodes.
Yeah, if we can save somebody some anguish through the experiences that we have, that's what we want to do.
So with that being said, we appreciate you listening. Go check out the article. It's called Stranger in the House by Linda Matchin, and it's on the Boston Globe, and they give you like 6 free articles a month, so you can be able to read that. And then you can kind of take it from there and give us your own feedback on it. But, you know, we'll go from there and we'll get the reaction on the next one. So I think overall it's a good thing. So have a good one. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch you on a reaction to the next part 2 article that's coming out. That has already come out. It came out on Monday if you want to check that out. I don't know the name of that article. Anyways, have a good one. We'll catch you on the next one.
Take care.